With the third pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Dante Fowler, Jr., defensive end, Florida.
It started in Chicago and continued with the arrival in Jacksonville of the first-round pick, Dante Fowler, Jr., and as the rest of the weekend played out, the Jaguars selected eight players in the 2015 NFL Draft. And we'll come into On the Clock Draft wrap-up. J.P. Shadrick with you. We'll be joined by John Osier, of course, and Brian Sexton has a special guest coming up. It all started Thursday night when the Jaguars selected Dante Fowler, Jr. with the third overall pick. And day two on Friday had an offensive feel. Running back T.J. Yeldon, A.J. Cann, the guard out of South Carolina, were selected. And today, five more players added to the fold, including a couple of guys who were surprisingly available in the later rounds today. It's safe to say the team is happy with a haul of draft picks.
It's going to be fun watching these guys go out to training camp. And these rookies are going to see what real competition is. And then even the guys that have been here for a year, 2 years are going to say, you know what, it's different now than it was when I first got here. And they're going to be pushed. And we feel like you even look at our tight end group. And we felt really, really good about our tight end group. Now we just add in another guy. And so it's going to be a great competition across the board. And we'll see where it goes. And we think that it'll help the outcome come season.
Here's a look at the eight newest Jaguars. Fowler, of course, Yeldon and Cann on day two. And then today, they started with four picks, ended with five, and the Jags traded with the Jets to move back one spot in the fourth round, added a second seventh-round pick. So they get Sample, Green, Bennett, and then Monmouth wide receiver Neil Sterling. He could be a swing tight end. Notre Dame tight end Ben Koyak was the final selection for the Jaguars. But day three started a little differently than normal around here. Usually the first round pick is introduced to the media on Friday morning, the day after the first round, the morning after. But travel restrictions, he had to come in a little later on Friday night. So he was introduced this morning. And inside of the Jaguars locker room here at Everbank Field, he seems like a perfect fit for this organization.
Just being able to have my family come up to my games, every home game, and knowing that they're going to be here, and knowing that if anything happens, I'm close to them. I'm only 3 hours away or something like that. So if it was ever a problem, if they ever need to come up, it's not a problem. They can drive straight up here, and I can see them whenever. So it all worked out really good.
Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier joins us now. Let's start from the top. Dante Fowler, Jr., great player in a position of need.
Boy, it seems like a long time ago that they drafted Dante Fowler. Yeah. It's been a couple of days. And it even seems a long time since this morning, but it was interesting to talk to Fowler this morning. And the story that I wrote for Jaguars.com sort of centered, he had the big to-do on draft night. He wore the suit. He had the shoes, the ones that he got from you with the gold plates and the spikes. But today was a different feel for him, and he thought it was important to really set a tone and to show that he was a professional and that he wasn't that guy. He was this guy in the locker room, a guy who was going to work hard with some work ethic. So that's what I took from Dante today. And overall, as you said, just a really good fit for this organization. When you talk to him, he looks you in the eyes. Gus Bradley likes that. He feels like he can connect to this guy. He's got to do it on the field, but everything else, as we saw from his pro day on, every time we talked to him, it felt right when they picked Dante Fowler Jr. for this organization.
Dave Caldwell has his franchise left tackle, his franchise quarterback, and a franchise edge rusher, and that was to say the goal early in his reign here.
Yeah, and that was our theme on Thursday. That's what Dave wanted to do. He never really just laid that out before this year's draft. You don't want to tell everybody who you're picking, but as you look at it, you got the feeling last year after the quarterback, yeah, that was the right thing to do. You needed a quarterback. You got to do that. And you kept thinking back to what he had said in 2013 about what you just said. Left tackle, quarterback, edge rusher. As much as people talk Leonard Williams, as much as people talk to Amari Cooper, those guys are going to be good players. For this organization at this time, it came to mesh with the fact that Dante Fowler Jr. was maybe a little better and a little more solid a prospect than everybody believed. He was number one guy on a lot of people's boards, absolutely the number one guy on this team's board.
Now to the business of helping out Blake Bortles and finding some weapons on offense. T.J. Yeldon, running back, might maybe establish a running game. And then you get the guard A.J. Cann from South Carolina to bolster that offensive line. First off, keep Bortles upright.
Right.
71 sacks a year ago for Jaguars quarterbacks, but established some competition in the interior.
And he's got to obviously beat out Zane Beatles for that spot. Yep. Brandon Linder started as a third rounder last year, so it's not unreasonable to think a third rounder comes in here and starts. Interesting two picks when you look back at it, because it's clear from talking to Gus Bradley and listening to him this offseason, he likes the idea of being able to run and play defense and make Blake Bortles' job of coming along and developing a little easier. Think Seattle a little bit. You don't always make the Seattle connection, but power running game, being able to run a little bit, can. Yeldon would seem to fit that. So as you look back on it again, if you had listened at the owners' meetings, listened when we talked to these people all throughout the offseason, maybe you saw some clues as how they were going to go. They want to be able to run the football in Jacksonville.
Now, for the final day, it was really started by a number of picks that were there later than Jaguars brass thought. Sample, followed by Green from FSU, and especially Bennett from Ohio State, the defensive tackle, all three picked up later than expected.
Well, I'm going to jump out of line a little bit. Let's not overlook the fact that they flipped early and got an extra pick,
yep.
Meaning 103, 104. All of a sudden, you have the tight end at the end of the seventh round. You never know that. You never know how that's going to turn out. But for almost nothing, they got a free player at the end of the draft. They've done that a few times, stockpiling players. They haven't traded up. They've traded back since Dave Caldwell has gotten here, trying to build that roster a little more. Did that at the top of the fourth round today. Today was absolutely a bizarre day to watch, if you will, because all of a sudden you had these guys who a lot of people had up on the boards. Sample, third rounder, a lot of people's mind. Fourth and fifth round pick, third and fourth rounders, a lot of people's mind. All of a sudden, Twitter's blowing up. We all saw it. But a lot of respected draft analysts started looking at this draft class throughout today and saying, this might be the best class in the draft. This might be the best class in the NFL this year, because you got players like Green and you got players like Bennett, who a lot of people had as second and third round possibilities,
right.
Very productive college players. All of a sudden, when you package this with the first 2 days, which, as you said earlier, should be three starters at some point pretty quickly, now you've got three more guys to package on that, maybe a starting free safety, maybe a defensive tackle, mm-hmm. who can really provide serious depth. Maybe a wide receiver who fits into the slot and is productive as a punt returner, quicker than people think. All of a sudden, you start looking at this, maybe a very, very productive draft here today.
And the defensive tackle, at least the Bennett pick, with the injuries in the interior right now. So Derek Marks coming off the knee injury. He's not especially a nose tackle, but Miller has had a knee procedure earlier in the year. But especially Marks, if Marks is not ready to go by opening day, this could get a chance.
You don't really draft. I say this a lot. You don't really draft with the idea of week one the following season. But in this case, you've got a guy who is productive at a very high level at Ohio State. He can clearly play, and he's not worried by the lights. He's not worried about the big stage. So they have Ziggy Hood there. You don't have to have a guy who comes in and starts right away, but this is a guy who can provide depth. This is a guy who, again, you would not be shocked to see him be able to play in the rotation early, be able to get some pressure on the quarterback. Sounds a lot like Sendarek Marks when you listen to personnel people talk about him. Clearly brought in to play that role. And as you said, will be expected, you would think, to play it earlier than would normally be the case.
And they, of course, finished the draft today with two tight end types. Sterling, mm-hmm. who is a wide receiver by position name, but is a little bigger and could be a swinging tight end type. And Koyak, who is a true tight end, a blocking tight end out of Notre Dame.
Well, I think that gets into now you're at the bottom of the draft. You can take a chance on a guy from Monmouth because you've gotten a lot of guys from bigger schools earlier in the draft who you feel like you know should be able to play and contribute as rookies. Guy from Monmouth, maybe not, but you have time to develop that because you've got seven other draft picks now who can play a little quicker. And the tight end from Notre Dame, blocking tight end who you would think is eventually going to be groomed to take that role that Mercedes Lewis has played for so long as a really good inline blocker.
Let's finish with this, John. It's kind of a different feel after this draft than especially the last 2 years. The first 2 years for Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley were for guys that had to start right away in all seven rounds. This is a totally different feel than that.
Yeah, and you got a different feel from listening to Dave Caldwell and a lot of the personnel people who talked to the media today that they've liked the previous drafts, but this is a draft where timing is meeting circumstance, meaning they wanted to get to year three where the build was taking place so that when you started drafting in this draft, you were filling in specific spots and you were getting yourself over the hump, if you will. And they're not over the hump. There's still a lot of foundation to be built, but there's much more of a solid feeling that they know exactly what all of these guys they drafted are expected to do. There are spots for them. And when Dave Caldwell got here, he knew he had to examine this roster, get a feel for it for a couple of years, and build it over the long term. You get the feeling that they believe they saw the fruits of a lot of years of work, meaning 2 years of work, today in this draft class. Much more confidence and much more of a belief that this is a really good class. The last two classes were good, but you got a real feeling today that they firmly believe they got a lot more value than their picks, if you will. They drafted well today. They believe that.
John Osier, senior writer, Jaguars.com. We'll look forward to seeing your recap of all this coming up a little later on the website.
Big weekend, big day.
Let's get Brian Sexton in here now, senior correspondent, Jaguars.com. He was in Chicago for the first night of the draft, first couple of days, the day before the draft, the Play 60 event and all, and then, of course, had the pleasure of interviewing Dante Fowler Jr. after his selection. Let's start with the new location for the draft. You've been raving about it since you've been back.
It worked. It'll never go back to Radio City Music Hall in that variation. It may go back to New York, but I think it's going to be Radio City Music Hall in Central Park. They set Grant Park up beautifully, covered the entire expanse. They owned downtown Chicago. I think by the time it's all said and done, there'll be more than 350,000 people that will have made their way through and been a part of the NFL experience. Wow. I think the other thing that makes it work so well is it's central. So you had a lot of West Coast fans that normally wouldn't make the trip all the way to New York, but you saw San Francisco, Seattle, San Diego all represented on Thursday morning when the hotel started to fill up with fans. So just when you think the NFL can't get bigger, when there isn't another level, I fully expect that they'll announce it'll go to Los Angeles next year, and you put the Hollywood to it, watch out.
And the sky's the limit from there, even
you bet.
After.
You bet. You know what? You're never going to have an NFL team in Las Vegas because of the obvious, but does that mean you couldn't have the draft there? Can you imagine what Las Vegas, look what they're doing with the fight tonight. Can you imagine what they do with the NFL draft? Caesar's Palace. I mean, they've got so much room to grow, and you would have thought by now it might have been capped.
What do you think of Fowler? Let's start there.
I like him. I mean, it's you're talking about an explosive athlete. First of all, he clearly loves football. You could see it in his eyes. I talked to him Wednesday at Play 60, yes. And then Thursday on the gold carpet, and then Thursday after he was drafted. So you expect there to be this deer in the headlights look because it's all so new to him. But when you start talking football, it's clear he loves football. Gus and Dave clearly love his talent, and he fits in this scheme with what he's able to bring as a pass rusher. So now the question is, can he step in and be that pass rusher from day one? Because from everything you read and you hear, he is a transcendent talent. Matt Miller, I know, mm-hmm. He thought he was the best player in the draft, right?
Yes.
Where most people thought Leonard Williams was the best player in the draft, Matt, who I know you think a lot of, thought that Dante Fowler Jr. was. So it was a great pick.
You've been here since day one. You've seen now, 21 of these drafts,
where's
right?
The gray hair? Here.
Yeah. Yes, both, yeah, actually.
Exactly.
You've seen now, I guess, 21
of
these drafts.
So
22
drafts
total. We're just an hour after the last pick. Where does this rate on draft day, end of draft feeling for you?
Well, you know, the first draft obviously had all that emotion, and there were a lot of good players in there. I would say that this one the hits kept coming, you know? And it struck me, and I said this earlier, that Dave and his staff really, they tracked well to get to the guys that they had targeted. So Michael Bennett's available in the sixth. Now, I'm not suggesting they thought that he would last that long, but I'm willing to bet they thought he'd be a day three pick just because of, you know, he is a three technique tackle. They bring him in. Yeldon's a guy. They brought him in. Top of the second round. There's the value there. I thought they did a really good job, and every time you turned around, well, your sample, a guy a lot of people thought should be higher up the board. They got players who are high character guys, who are good football players, who have great room for growth, who love the game. I like this draft. And again, it's too early to put any sort of a letter grade to it and see, but just based on, and I talked to four of those guys, right?
Sure.
And I liked all of them. And I like Mike Bennett a lot, an awful lot. I mean, he is a guy who is buttoned up, understands the business side of this, and appreciated the opportunity that he thought would be afforded to him as a niche player, right? As a three technique tackle. First glance, you see Ohio State, Florida State, you see the Louisville, Alabama, Florida. Yeah, those schools put out good players. So.
And for years, you didn't see those kind of big school names around.
There was a different philosophy here before. Yeah. And, Dave comes in and other than, the one guy, everyone's a big school player.
Well done, Brian. Your coverage in Chicago was fantastic, of course. And
Chicago
was
a great experience,
too.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian Sexton, senior correspondent, joining us. A few folks to thank before we get out of here. Of course, it starts at the top. Owner Todd Kahn, Dave Caldwell, general manager, for the access into the war room. All the videos, you can watch the archives on Jaguars.com. Gus Bradley as well. Of course, the PR staff here, starting with Dan Edwards, Ryan Robinson, Tad Dickman, Alex Brooks is back. Katie Vaughn as well. Dave DeCandis, Patrick Cavanaugh working their tails off to get everything done. The in-stadium crew for the opening night show. I had worked with this crew for a long time for the video board and .com to talk to each other in terms of technical stuff. Fantastic work, guys. Max Hotchman filling in as an intern throughout this weekend from UNF. He did a great job as well. Our .com guys back in the room, of course, John Casco, Carlos Oliveira, Chris Burdett, and Brandon Natus.
Don't forget your mom.
Social media. Thanks, Mom. And thanks to you, Brian. And thanks to you for watching. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That'll do it for our coverage on the clock. Let's leave you now with the best of the Jaguars' first-round pick from the University of Florida, Dante Fowler Jr., here on Jaguars.com.
Jacksonville Jaguars select Dante Fowler, Jr., defensive end, Florida.